Today I would like to share with you what 1 John or our second reading says to be born of God. What does it mean to be born of God? Well, needless to say, today's gospel is a continuation of John's discourse of the organic relationship between God and Jesus, and since we are in Jesus, humanity. Let us quickly review some of the things that John 15 says. Jesus is not only a vine, but the true vine. I shared with you last Sunday some powerful thoughts that says that the cross of Jesus points to the tree of life mentioned in the book of Genesis. As I said last Sunday, the tree of life was mentioned in the garden in Genesis, but it was not mentioned until in the Gospels. And then we move on to the book of Revelation, that it will bring forth fruit and medicine and cure to the and bring remedy to sin that has sin that entered humanity. From John chapter 12 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." No one understood, as I said last Sunday, no one understood what this meant. But after the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we now understand that because of the death of Christ now comes life. Ironic, isn't it? From time immemorial, man has always had a soft spot searching and seeking a transcendent force of some kind. We can only wonder why. In existence, man realized that there are things beyond man's control, such as water, fire, to name a few. Why water and fire? Water causes flood and destroys. Fire burns a forest and it destroys. Either man worshiped these things, or man would search a God, small letter G, who has control over these things. Or if man has choices, who is the God that has the most significant power? And he is the God that I will worship, again, small letter G. Christianity believes that man is in search of God because God created man for himself. From the famous words of St. Augustine, "My heart is restless until it rests in you." When the God-man relationship was fractured, broken, man is left with a void, therefore in an endless search. One of the reasons is of the fact that there are so many religions in the world that we live in, because man is in perpetual search. Rabbi Saul Berman said, "The more I study ancient cultures, the more I see the absolute radical disparity between the values of pagan civilizations and the values which Torah brought into the world." Torah means the Hebrew Bible. Torah was God's weapon in the war against idolatrous culture, and war it was. In other words, that Israel was surrounded by pagan cultures where they worshiped many different kinds of gods because they were in search, until God came to Moses and revealed himself to the children of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we Christians believe also in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but revealed in Jesus Christ. Before the incarnation of the Son of God, by and large, humanity's relationship with a deity or with a deity can be described as impersonal, faceless, soulless, maybe with a little exception of Judaism. Let me quote to you and share with you from the book of Exodus chapter 32, verse 1 and 2. "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain," and this was when Moses was in the mountain and he was receiving the Ten Commandments, "the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us gods that shall go before us.' And for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. If we will look at the scenario, it's like parents that have gone on a holiday to Hawaii or to the Philippines, and they are gone. And the younger siblings turn to their older brother, Aaron, so to speak, and say, brother, why don't we have a party? And the older brother says, well, that sounds like a good idea. Let's do it. Moshe David Casuto, a rabbi and an Italian historian, commented that they, the Israelites, believe that human beings can make a god. Pretty strange, isn't it? Yet these do not realize, they do not realize, or humans do not realize, that whatever humans create, or rather make into being, or make, has less power than they have. That all chains in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, his claim of God as his Father and being one with the Father, was so outrageous even to the Jewish ear that it got him killed. Jesus became incarnate to demonstrate his relationship with the Father. And so he can bring us to that same kind of relationship. What God wanted in the first place was not an impersonal, but a personal relationship with him. Please take note of that, because our God's relationship with man is not impersonal, but personal. Luke chapter 3 and verse 38. You know, we find the genealogies in the Bible, and sometimes it's quite boring, honestly, to read the genealogies, but it is important because it actually portrays and conveys a lineage, a continuity. And the last verse in Luke chapter 3 says, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. That means Adam was a son of God, small letter S. What God wanted was for humanity to be his sons and children, rather his sons and daughters in Jesus Christ. In John 5, chapter 1, in verse 1, which we read today, whoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God is born of God. The first thing that comes to mind is the encounter of Nicodemus with Jesus on that particular night. Like any other Jew, a Pharisee, was waiting for the promised Messiah. He came to Jesus by night in fear of his peers, what they would say, and asked Jesus how a man can enter the kingdom of God. Everyone wants to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus did not seem to answer the question, but went directly to the answer of the question and what was in the heart of Nicodemus. He cut to the chase. Jesus said, unless a man is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus understood it as Jesus to mean that a man must undergo another human birth, another natural birth. Jesus said, no, that point seems to be absurd. Such thinking, human thinking, then Jesus clarifies that he is talking about the necessity of a birth from above. Let's call it the supernatural birth. The evangelist uses this important exchange between Nicodemus and Jesus to point readers and all of us toward the sacrament of baptism that brings regeneration that can only be done by the work of the Holy Spirit. Through the sacrament of baptism, the individual becomes a new person on the inside. And it is not man's doing. It is not the doing of that person. Perhaps not even the decision. It was the decision of his parents when a child is brought to baptism. But it's the doing of God. Man cannot repair himself. Man cannot regenerate himself. It has to be the work of God. What comes to mind is what took place in the garden. when God made man from the dust of the earth, then what did God do? He did breathe on him the breath of life. And then and only then, man became a living being. At baptism, God breathes into the child, the candidate for baptism, the very breath of life, and that person becomes a child of God by water and spirit. The very life of God is now in us. There's no one that can explain it better from a different perspective that opens so many things, but from Gregory of Nyssa in the 4th century, where he said, "When a child is baptized, the reign of life has begun, and the tyranny of death is ended. A new birth has taken place. A new life has come. Faith is the womb that conceives this new life. The church is the nurse. Her teachings are its milk and the bread from heaven. It is brought to maturity by practice of virtue, and it gives birth to hope. Its home is the kingdom of God, its inheritance the joys of paradise. When the child is baptized, then we say, 'This is the day that the Lord has made.'" It gives us a different perspective of what that day means. When the child who has inherited the nature of Adam has finally become a child of God. Through the sacrament of baptism, we are born of God. And because we are born of God, then that means we are born of love. And guess what? The fruit of our life should be love, because we are born of God. We are born of love. And the fruit that comes out of our lives is love. Didn't Jesus say that they will know, the world will know who we are because of love? It would take us our lifetime to learn, even to reflect every day, the love of God. Every day. That's the reason why I don't get tired. We should not get tired of listening to the Word of God, because we don't know love only in one sitting or one hearing. It's like a diamond that when you move it, you see a different facet. And one day, we will see love Himself. But in this life, we reflect and we realize that we were born of love, and that the world will know who we are and that we are in Christ because of that love. As we are reminded today, may God give us the strength and new love in our hearts, and that love, I pray, will be rekindled, not only for God, not only our love for God, but also a love for what He says, His words, His commandments. And let the fruits be seen in the life of the church.